Please turn with me to Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9. We've been dealing with this series, Wisdom for the Wise. Wisdom for the Wise. And we want to continue tonight with this. And I want to deal tonight. We dealt with last week the mechanics of gaining the wisdom of God. Paul's a mechanic. And a mechanic needs to understand how a car works. I don't. I drive a car. I have the keys. I have the car. I get into the car. I turn the ignition. The engine begins. If I keep putting fuel in it, keep putting oil in it, everything will be okay until the thing breaks down. I don't know anything about a car, but I do know how to drive it. I know how to get from A to B, but I know absolutely nothing, really, about the internal workings of the mechanics of a car. But a mechanic is different. He knows why a car doesn't work. He knows how to make it work. And when I say we're dealing last week with the mechanics of wisdom, to gain wisdom, it's one thing to say I'm praying for wisdom, or I want wisdom, or I need wisdom. It's quite another thing to know how to get wisdom. And last week we dealt with it from Proverbs. We saw that there is a way to gain wisdom. First, we need to gather knowledge. What is knowledge? Knowledge is facts. It is absolutely concrete biblical facts from the Bible. But knowledge, you don't stay there. It's not enough. Knowledge moves you on to understanding. When you gather all the knowledge together of the Bible, then you get understanding. Without knowledge, you can't get understanding. This is the mechanics of how you get wisdom. When you get understanding, everything fits in place. When you begin to understand God and understand His ways and understand the Bible, then you're ready for wisdom. That is all the preparation to make you ready. Now you're ready to gain wisdom. What is wisdom? You know what to do. That is what wisdom is. But tonight I want to deal with something so fundamental. It is absolutely critical if we are going to gain wisdom in our life, or if this church is going to be wise, or if we are going to grow in wisdom, we must have the fear of the Lord. Please read with me Proverbs 9, reading from verse 7. And it says, "He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding." Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for your word. We're here tonight again. Lord God, I'm crying out for knowledge. I'm crying out for understanding. We come before you and we are asking for wisdom. We want to be wise. My God, this city is filled with so many fools. Lord God, men and women, Lord God, who follow their own mind, their own thinking, who reject you, who reject the Bible. But my God, we want to have great wisdom tonight. We're crying out to you. Don't leave us as we are. We're looking for the wisdom of God. We're looking to be led into wisdom. Lord God, even tonight, I'm asking that you teach me wisdom, that you teach every one of us in this church to be wise. My God, we don't want to be found foolish, nor God, at the end of our lives, having wasted our lives and our years and our times. But my God, we want to be very wise, having redeemed the time, knowing that the days are evil. In Jesus' name, help us tonight. Teach us what the fear of the Lord is. Show us what the fear of the Lord is. Make us to hunger and desire to be those that walk in the fear of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Again, just to read, it says there in verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to find the source of wisdom, you need to look to the fear of God. No man is ever going to understand what wisdom is. No man is going to gain wisdom. No man is going to grow in wisdom or become wise in knowing what to do unless he fears God. Without the fear of God, you cannot be wise. But also without the fear of God, you will never become a wise man. A fool will always be a fool without the fear of God. The only way for a fool to become a wise man is by the fear of God. I want to tell you tonight, I used to be a foolish man. And I can tell you, you were a foolish man or were a foolish woman. If you were out there living your own life, living in sin and not living for God, you were a fool. The Bible and the Proverbs many times explain what a fool is. When you begin to read the Proverbs, they actually define who he is by what he speaks or what he thinks or what he desires or what he does. And the Bible actually describes what a fool is, what a foolish man is. You know, how does a fool become a wise man? How does a man who's foolish in what he thinks and what he desires and what he does and how he speaks, how does a foolish man become a wise man? Can the leopard change its spots? Not outside of Christ. Not apart from the cross. But I want to tell you, I know a miracle working God that changes a man. That can take a man who's served in almost every prison in England and make him a preacher. I want to tell you, I know a God who can make a foolish man a wise man. A fool who says there is no God, and yet he becomes a wise man who says, I know there's a God. A fool who says, I can live anyway but still be okay with God. To be a man who says, I want to live holy before you because I know that you're real. You see, it is God who changes an individual. But how does he do it? How does God take a fool and make him a wise man? It's by the fear of God. The only way you become wise is by the fear of God. Without the fear of God, you'd remain a fool. But we want to see tonight that behind wisdom or being made wise is this hard attitude of the fear of God. One of the most fundamental truths in Proverbs as we begin to read it is the fear of the Lord. Every chapter you turn to in Proverbs, you'll come across the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Without it, you don't have knowledge. Without the fear of the Lord, you don't have understanding. Without the fear of God, you don't have wisdom. You could actually seek after all those things. You could say, I want wisdom or understanding or knowledge. I want to know all about God. But without the fear of God, your knowledge is dead. You could say, I know many things about God. But listen, it says in Proverbs 1 and 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What is the beginning of knowledge? The fear of God. So in other words, you could accumulate lots of knowledge, but if it doesn't come out of a heart of fear in him, it is empty knowledge, it is dead. It doesn't affect your life. It's a knowledge that you have. You could have lots of knowledge, but your life is no different. That's knowledge apart from the fear of God. But there is a knowledge that comes out of the fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Do you want a knowledge that is filled with life? Do you want knowledge that changes your life? Then it begins with the fear of God. But what about understanding? When everything comes together and you see clearly, you understand. You don't have understanding without the fear of God. But it says here in chapter 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now what does that mean? It actually means the fear of the Lord is the source of all wisdom. The word beginning there means an opening up or an unraveling, a revealing of God's wisdom to you. How do you get God's wisdom in your life? How do you get that wisdom that comes from God? You fear Him. You actually have within your heart the fear of God. That is the beginning of wisdom. Do you want wisdom? Then fear God. If you don't have fear in your heart, you can pray for wisdom. You can read the Bible. You can learn things. You can listen to sermons. But you will be no different. But there is a fear of God that changes you. That wisdom is a life-given thing. You see, wisdom isn't just something mechanical where you're very wise. Oh, he's very wise. Or we think, you know, the Bible says a man can seem to be wise and yet he's a fool. What is that type of wisdom where we think we're very wise, we're very shrewd? Do you know what it is? It's a wisdom that doesn't come out of the fear of God. You see, the Bible talks about a wisdom that's earthly, that's natural. It talks about a wisdom of the Greeks that sounds very profound. It talks about a wisdom of academics, of the theological schools, of all the universities of our land. I'm afraid mostly I got F's at school, I'm sad to say it, but I want to tell you I've got wisdom concerning this book. I didn't leave school with a great education. I tell you, I'm ashamed of the marks I got at school. I didn't do well. But I want to tell you, I have excelled in the wisdom of God. I didn't do well as far as the wisdom of this world went. But I do have wisdom that came out of the fear of God. My wisdom began in the fear of God. That's where it had its beginning or source. Secondly, in Proverbs 1:29, we see that you have to choose the fear of God. You see, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. But you have to choose the fear of God. It is a choice. It actually says in Proverbs 1, it talks about those who hated knowledge. How do you know they hated knowledge? Because they did not choose the fear of God. If you don't choose the fear of God, I know you hate knowledge. You hate instruction, you hate wisdom. But also it says in Proverbs 15 and 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Listen to that again. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. To have the fear of God is to be instructed in wisdom. If you fear God, you're going to be taught wisdom. God is going to teach you how to be wise. You'll be wiser than all of your teachers. You'll be wiser than the greatest intellects in this nation. How do you get that sort of teaching? How do you get wisdom to instruct your heart? How do you become very wise? It's by the fear of God. It says actually in Jeremiah 32:40 concerning our relationship with God. You see, people outside of Christ are not wise. They do not have the wisdom of God. If you're outside of salvation, if you don't put faith in Him, if you're not born again, you lack the wisdom of God. There is a wisdom that He'll draw you with. He'll show you your sins and your need of Him. But it says in Jeremiah 32, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. What is that? That's a relationship. He says, I want a relationship with you. I am going to make a legally binding relationship with you. I'm going to enter into covenant with you like a man and a woman would enter into a marriage covenant. I want to enter a covenant with you, me, God. I want to enter a relationship with you where I bind myself. I join myself. I marry you. And we become one. That is the born again experience. You see, the Bible says sin separates us from God. We are cut off from Him. We know He's there. We believe in Him. We pray to Him. But it is sin that separates. It's not my upbringing. It's not my understanding that separates. It is actually sin that separates us from God. Sin will always separate. Man's greatest problem is sin. It's not his lack of knowledge or his lack of money or his lack of anything else. Sin is the greatest crisis in this city tonight. It is the cause of all the tragedy in this city. Just point to all the tragedy and heartache in this city. I'll tell you what the reason is. It is sin. Look at the foolishness of this city. Men know that they can be drunkards or gamblers or whatever. They know this is foolish, and yet they do it. They're bound by it. They're actually stuck in it. But listen again what the Lord says in Jeremiah 32. He says, I will make a covenant with you. This is the born again experience. When we put faith in God, He makes a covenant with us. And listen to what He says in this covenant. Because He binds Himself or obliges Himself. He makes commitments. Do you know when I married Candace? Not that I had much in my pockets at the time. But I said, for richer, for poor, I'm going to look after you. And I thought, she's got a poor deal here, doesn't she? But I made commitments that I'm going to look after you. I'm going to love you. Whether it's good days or bad days, I'm making commitments. Do you know in this covenant with God, He made commitments. Listen to what He says. For I will not turn away from you from doing you good. Do you know when you enter a relationship with God, He says, I will never stop doing good in your life. But you get thoughts and go, where is He? Or look at the circumstance of life. I want to tell you, God has made a binding covenant with those who are born again. He says, I will always do you good. Never think that I'm doing you bad. I will always do you good. That's the wonder of a relationship with God. When I know God is in a covenant with me, He says, I will always do you good. But look at all the things around me. Look at the problems of life. Look how I'm feeling. I will never turn back from doing you good. But I want to tell you something better than that. Listen to what also He says. To do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts. That's what the covenant is. God says, when you enter into a covenant relationship with me, I am going to put my fear in your heart. In your mind? No. I am going to put my fear in your heart. He's not talking about being out there as a sinner, scared to come near God, scared of what's going to happen to you. Not talking about that. He actually says, I am going to put my fear in your hearts that you will not depart from me. Would you want to be in such a relationship with God, a binding covenant with God, that He actually promises and swears, I will so put my fear in you that you will not depart from me. I am going to do it. I'm actually going to put something within you that actually stops you from walking away from God. This is the covenant with God. He says, I'm going to make you scared of walking away from me. Saints, this is what the Bible says about the born again experience, that we tremble before Him. I do have thoughts at time can pass through my mind that say, just go out there and live your own life. But even the thought of it in my mind makes me tremble. It scares me. The very thought of it, it's not even the action of it. It's the very thought of it scares me. The thought that I would go and live my own life. The thought that I could turn my back on God. It scares me. You see, that isn't natural. Because there's many people believing God out there and they go and live their own life. What it is God has put His fear within me. Paul actually says in the New Testament, in Philippians chapter 2 verse 12, he says, work out your own salvation. What was dancing through the dandelions? It should all be joy and peace. It should all be enjoyment and entertainment at church. He doesn't say any of that. Listen to what he says. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Every real Christian has to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. The real mark of a Christian is that they fear and they tremble. That's not the mark of a sinner. That is mark of a real Christian. That they are born again. They are in a relationship with God. But they're actually saying, I want to work out my salvation in fear and trembling. This is a heart attitude that they're to have. Saints, we are to have this. We're to be marked by it. And he says also, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That is God's responsibility, is to work in my heart. It's Him that worketh in me both to will and do. He gives me a desire to follow Him. That isn't my desire. It's God working in me. It is His power working in me. But I have a responsibility to work out my salvation with fear and with trembling. You see, the mark of the Christian is fear and trembling. A sinner doesn't have that. A sinner can tremble all right. But it's not the real fear of God. It's not the same. You see, if you seek after knowledge, understanding, and wisdom as silver, your life is going to be marked by the fear of God. Let's just for a few minutes here look at the fear of God. This is the greatest mark of a Christian. There is no greater mark of the Christian than the fear of God. There's nothing to be more sought after than the fear of God. There's nothing more strong in your life than the fear of God. This is actually greater than the love of God. This is greater than many other elements, because if you fear Him, you will love Him. Believe me, if you fear God, you do love Him. And if you really love Him, you do fear Him. Now, many people say to fear God doesn't mean to fear Him. I've heard Christians say it. I've heard mature Christians. I've heard preachers say it. They say, well, of course, we just love God and God loves us. We're not to fear Him. We're not to fear Him. They say, fear doesn't actually mean fear. It just means a respect. Oh, I respect you. You're God. So I respect you. I want to tell you, fear means fear. What did Jesus say? He says, fear Him who can cast your body and your soul into hell. Does that sound like just a light respect? Jesus taught this. He said, God can cast you body and soul into hell for all eternity. Hell is real, or else Jesus is a liar. If there's no hell, no eternal hell, then Jesus was wrong. I'm going to tell you, I'd rather believe Jesus than all the other opinions of men. There is a real hell. And Jesus actually said that we ought to fear God, because He can cast you into hell for all eternity. Outside of Christ, you would be lost. There would be no mercy apart from Jesus. It is real. That is the fear of God. But we want to understand what this fear is. Do you know what it actually means? It means to stand in awe of Him. You ever stand in awe of someone? You stand in absolute awe of who He is because of His majesty and His holiness and His greatness. That's the fear of God. That fear of God affects your life. If you have a feeling of going, yes, I fear Him, but it doesn't affect your life, you don't have the fear of God. That fear of God affects your entire life. Let's look at what let's look at what Proverbs teaches or reveals concerning the fear of the Lord. Because Proverbs is filled with the wisdom of God. If you take away the fear of God, you have no wisdom. I believe that's why there's so many fools who are even in the church. They are very foolish. They have no wisdom. Why is it? They don't fear God. Show me someone who has the fear of God. I'll show you someone very wise. It says in Proverbs chapter 2, first of all, it says if you seek after knowledge, understanding and wisdom as silver and treasures. If you cry out for wisdom, if you're seeking with all your heart saying, Lord, give me wisdom, give me knowledge, give me understanding. It says in verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. He says, if you're there crying saying, Lord, give me knowledge, give me understanding, give me wisdom. When you begin to pray like that and say, Lord, give me something. Give me more of You. Teach me. Speak to me. He says, very shortly you're going to understand what the fear of God is. See, if you're praying like that saying, I want to know You. I'm not satisfied with what I have. I want to know everything about You. I want a deep relationship with You. He says, you're very quickly going to begin to understand the fear of God. Do you know why? Because to answer that prayer, God has to put the fear of God in you. He is going to put a fear of God right within your heart, because you'll never know understanding or wisdom or have real knowledge without that fear. If He doesn't put it within you, you will never get it. Oh, well, I'll go to Bible school. That won't do it. Oh, I'll listen all the messages. That won't do it. If you don't have the fear of God, you can listen to sermons from morning to night, every day of the week. You won't learn anything without the fear of God. But when you have the fear of God, you learn. You listen. You know, you understand, and you gain wisdom. It's out of the fear of the Lord that all of that comes. Again, in Proverbs 8, verse 13, we have the mention of the fear of the Lord. Listen to what it says. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. What is the fear of the Lord? How is it defined? If somebody tells me, I fear God, how do I know they fear God? How do I define what the fear of God is? What is the fear of God? Well, he says it here. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The word hate means to actually treat like an enemy. You treat evil things like an enemy. Things that are wrong, you treat them as an enemy. That is a sign the fear of God is in you. If you don't hate what God hates, you lack the fear of God. If you have the fear of God, you will hate. But brother, surely I'm not meant to hate, I'm meant to love. A Christian is filled with love. A Christian only loves things. A real church only loves things. I'm going to tell you, if this is a real church, we are going to hate certain things. And if you're a real Christian, you're going to hate certain things. I mean, there's going to be things that you hate, you treat like an enemy, that you say, this is an enemy. What sort of things? You know, Jesus talking to the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, he says, you hate the false doctrines, and you hate the false lifestyle. You see, there's things that Jesus hated in the church. What? But Jesus is love. No, there were things that Jesus hated. Certain false teachings or wrong lifestyle. Jesus actually said, I'll encourage you when you need encouragement, but if there's anything wrong, I hate it. I hate anything that's wrong. Any departure from the Word of God, he says, I hate it. That's a strong word, you know. If I say that I hate a person, that is a strong word. Do you know what happens to people? We hate people for some stupid thing. I'm going to tell you, God hates certain types of people. God hates certain types of things. But look at it. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That word evil is a general word. It's a very large word. He hates evil. The man who fears God, he hates evil. He then goes on in this verse to explain what that evil is. First of all, he says pride. If you have the fear of the Lord, you will hate pride. You will treat pride as an enemy. This is talking about pride in your heart. I'm not talking about anything you say or anything you do. Do you know, some years ago, about 13 years ago, I sat speaking with a man. And I said a harmless comment. It seemed harmless. No one else, if I told you what it was, you'd laugh at me. It was a very simple thing. I was just speaking to him in the midst of a Christian conversation. But as I said those words, my heart smote me. And to this day, I still cringe under that statement that I said. And if I told you, you'd say, sure, there's nothing wrong with that. But you know what it was? It came out of pride in my heart. It actually, what I said came out of pride. I had pride in my heart. That's 13 years ago, and I still remember it. Do you know why? I hate that pride. I found pride in my heart that I said something and it came out of pride in my heart, and I hate it. The minute I said it, God smote my heart, and I went, oh God, forgive me. I don't want that in my heart. I don't want pride in my heart. There was another time I was sitting at the Lord's table. And here I would not consider myself a proud man at all, to any degree. But I was sitting, and we were coming closer to the Lord's table, and it was just a few minutes before, and I had a proud thought rise up in my heart. And I went, oh, it crushed me. I went, I have pride in this heart. I had a proud thought, and I went, where did that come from? I had a proud thought. Nobody else knew. Nobody else was going to hear. Nobody else saw it. I looked very spiritual, but a proud thought come up in my heart, and the Holy Spirit said, that's not acceptable. Why did I act like that? Why did it smite my heart? And I said, Lord, I don't want to come to that table. I am not taking that table, that bread and that juice. I am not going to break bread with you until you deal with this. I have 5 minutes. And I started crying out, oh God, have mercy on me. Take this pride out of my heart. I don't want it here. Only you can see it. No one else can see it. Nobody else knows. All it was is a thought that came out of nowhere. It wasn't something I'd been walking with all week long. It suddenly came, it suddenly arose, and I went, I hate it. Lord, I don't want this in my heart. Do you know what that is? That's the fear of God. That is the fear of God working in my heart. That's the first thing he says. The fear of the Lord is to hate pride in the heart. The second thing is arrogancy. What's the difference between pride and arrogance? Pride is of the heart, arrogance is outward. Arrogance can be seen and heard. Arrogance manifests outwardly. It's an outward thing. Pride is of the heart, nobody can see it. But arrogance appears. It can be in your words. It can be your attitude towards others. I am better than them. You can have very high attitudes. You can say things which are absolutely arrogant. Do you know what the Bible says? The fear of the Lord in your heart hates arrogance. You go, I don't want anything in my actions. I don't want anything in my attitude towards others. I don't want to reveal pride to anyone else. I don't want arrogancy. I don't want to act in an arrogant manner towards anyone else. And we're told that the fear of God deals with that. You go, I hate that. I don't want it in my life. Thirdly, it says, and the evil way. The word way there means roadway or pathway or lifestyle. In other words, the fear of the Lord hates a pathway of evil where you make your life. This is how you live. You can be spiritual on a Sunday and from Monday through to Wednesday at home privately. You know, Brother Clendenin often preached. He said, it's not how, as a preacher, it's not how spiritual I am here in the pulpit. It's what I'm like in that hotel room. It's what I'm like when I'm at home. It's what I'm like when nobody else can see or nobody else is there. That is the test. That's where reality is. What is the evil way? It's your lifestyle. It's the pathway that you choose. It's how you choose to live. Do you know what the fear of God is? It's to hate every evil way. You actually go, that's an enemy, I will not live like that. Oh God, put your fear in me. Now I'm going to hate sin. Now I'm going to hate the evil way. I want this finished in my life. Do you see that when you become a Christian, God puts his fear in your heart immediately? There's things you always did, or normally did, you won't do anymore. Do you know, as a backslider, I was in the army. And as a backslider, I wanted to live fully in sin. A day come when I backslid, I turned away from God, I took my Bible, I closed my Bible, put it at the bottom of my bag, and I said, Lord, I love you, which is a lie, an absolute lie. I said, Lord, I love you, nothing personal against you, but I want to be one of the lads. I want to go out and drink, I want to run after the women, I want to be like them, I want to be a part of them. And I put the Bible at the bottom of the bag, went out and got drunk, and I started on a life and a pathway. Do you know, one of those nights, I'd arranged to meet a young lady down in Dover High Street. I could take you to the spot. She was 2 years older than me. I was 16, she was 18. And I'd made an arrangement. I am going to live my life in sin. I'm running from God. And you know, I was standing in that high street. I'd had a bit of drink and I'm waiting on her coming. And you know as well as what I do and what was my intention. And I'm waiting there in the high street. Do you know what happened? As I'm standing there and I'm waiting on her expectantly, the fear of God fell on me. I'm a rebel. I'm a backslider. I'm running from God. I'm saying I want to live my own life. But the fear of God came after me. And I tell you, on that street, I began to tremble on that high street. Nobody was there. No preacher, no Christians. But the fear of God came on me. And God spoke to me. And he says, if you do this thing, you will regret it for the rest of your life. You will regret it. How do I know that was the Holy Spirit speaking? Because it made me depart from sin. I knew. That was the fear of God that came from the Lord. Lots of people in the church today that say, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. The Holy Spirit told me this. The Holy Spirit said this. The Holy Spirit gave me a dream. And yet they continue in their sin. I tell you, my Holy Spirit, He will bring the fear of God. Do you know, in that high street, I turned and I walked away. Stood her up. Never phoned her again. Never looked over my shoulder. And that's as a backslider. That's as somebody out in the world. There was more fear of God in me in the world as a backslider than a lot of Christians in churches. Because the fear of God came after me. God was trying to rescue me and save me from my sin. So even in my backslidden state, He brought His fear. Fear is real, saints. And the Bible says God puts it within our heart. He goes further here and he says, the fear of the Lord is to hate the forward mouth. That do I hate. What is a forward mouth? It's to turn and change and go in the opposite direction. It's a very broad term again. It's somebody who says one thing and then they change their mind. They're prone to lie. They'll say one thing to this person and one thing to that person. Their actual conversation, the words of their lips, are changeable. Changeable. It shifts. We'll say whatever to whoever, whenever. We can adjust to this crowd, then we adjust to that crowd. That is a forward mouth. And the Bible says the fear of the Lord hates that type of tongue. Do you know there's certain ways of talking? The Bible says God hates it. God detests it. Oh, but I don't feel anything. I don't feel bad about it. That's because there's a lack of the fear of God. When you fear God, you hate it. You go, that type of speaking isn't acceptable. My tongue has to be right before God. When you fear God, you will control your tongue. You actually say, I hate any evilness on this tongue. I won't lie. I won't deceive. I won't curse. I won't blaspheme. I won't use this tongue to tear down or to discourage. I want to have a tongue set on fire of heaven. That is the fear of God. This is basic Christianity. The fear of God makes you hate evil. It also makes you depart from evil. It says in Proverbs 16:6, by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Do you want to depart from evil? Do you want to walk away from sin? Do you want to be free from sin? You don't walk away from sin and then come looking for the fear of the Lord. You don't do that. Do you know what? You ask God, put your fear in my heart. I want to hate sin like you hate sin, but I don't. I want to be free from sin, but I am bound by sin. Why not start saying, oh God, put your fear within me. Let your fear come to my life. Make me to tremble at your words. You know, the Bible says, those who tremble at his word, the words of his mouth, the words of his mouth, who tremble at it, he looks at them. Do you want to draw God's attention to your life? Tremble at his words. Do you want to draw God's focus where heaven itself leans over and looks down and says, we are marking your life. Tremble at his word. Oh yeah, yeah, I know all the facts of the Bible. That's not trembling. Oh yeah, 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 I've heard it all. I can tell you it. That is not coming out of the fear of God. You see, if you want to depart from evil, it's by the fear of God. How do you depart from sin? Why do you depart from sin? Where does the desire come from? Do I do it outwardly so I'm a good Christian? Do I do it outwardly so I'll be accepted of God when I die? No. The fear of God comes into our heart and we depart from evil. To depart from evil is the fear of God. It also says in Proverbs 23:17, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. What is it to envy sinners? You actually look at men living in sin, other people living in sin, and you're jealous. You actually desire that. You look at them throughout the day, you hear them, or you see their life, and you go, I wish I could have that, or I wish I could live like that, or I wish I could be free to do that. That's what envying sinners is. And yet the proverb says, and this is the wisdom of God, let not thine heart envy sinners. Don't let it in your heart. Oh, but I don't do it. Don't let it in your heart. Oh, but I wouldn't go and do that. Don't let it in your heart. Cast it out. Don't envy sinners. Well, how do I stop myself from envying sinners? How do I stop myself from looking at sinners and going, here I am. Look at them. They can do anything and everything. And I, at times I go, I wish I could be there. Or you feel that drawn. How do you stop that? He says it in the same verse. He says, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. How do you stop yourself from being jealous of sinners or desiring to do what they do? It's the fear of God. Be in the fear of God all the day long. That is the cure, saints. Not as a cure for being jealous. This is what makes you depart from sin. This is what keeps you from sin. This is what makes you hate sin. It's the fear of God in your heart. Do you see why this is such a precious thing? I will put my fear within you, and you will not depart from me. What a promise. Lord, do it. Lord, do it tonight. So put your fear in me that I'm going to hate evil. That's what he's talking about. I'm going to put it in your heart to hate evil. I'm going to put it in your heart to depart from evil. I'm actually going to put it in your heart that you won't envy sinners. I'm going to do this within your heart. Let me close here with some of the blessings of the fear of God. We've seen the great mark of the fear of God is to hate evil. To hate every attitude, every word, every action that is not right before God. We hate it. It becomes an enemy. Oh, but it used to be a friend, didn't it? It used to be a close companion. But I tell you, when the Spirit of God begins to work in your life, you go, oh God, deliver me from this. The things that we used to go after, the things we used to live for and admire, and the things we enjoyed of sin, when the Holy Spirit begins working in your life, you go, I hate this thing. This thing is an enemy. This thing trips me up. This thing obstructs me from loving God and obeying Him. I hate it. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. But let me close on the blessings. In Proverbs 14, and verse 26, it says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Isn't that wonderful that if you fear God, you will have a strong confidence? What is a strong confidence? It's a hiding place. It's a refuge. That means when trouble comes, when you get scared in your mind and your heart, when circumstance come around you, when problems come to your home, when problems come to your life, and you're scared of things in this life, natural things, your heart becomes scared. The Bible says if you fear God, that fear is a strong confidence. It'll hide you. It'll protect you. It is a refuge. And the children, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Do you want your children to have a place of refuge? Do you actually want your children to be protected in this generation? This is the most evil generation that's going to come of any generation. This is the age we live in is going to be the most dangerous, the most wicked, the most uncontrolled age. Do you want your children to be protected in this hour? They can be. How? You walk in the fear of God. If you walk in the fear of God, your children are going to be protected in here, in the generation to come. It doesn't matter what happens out there. If the fear of God is in your heart, He'll even protect your children. It doesn't matter what happens in the nation. It doesn't matter if there's a financial crash. If you fear God, it will be a strong defense to you. It's going to protect your whole life. Isn't it a good thing to fear God? Yes. Just fear Him. It also says in Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death. What are the snares of death? These are traps. Do you ever see the deer? Maybe in a movie or something. I've seen them out in the wild. Those metal traps they have for wild animals. I've seen them with their claws. I tell you, that's a dangerous thing. If a man got caught in that, he's caught. That can break a bone. That'll certainly injure you. It'll stop you moving on down the path. What it actually says, those who fear God, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. You're not going to get caught in the traps of this life. The fear of the Lord is going to be a fountain of life. What is a fountain? A fountain is where fresh water keeps coming out of. You always have a new supply of fresh water. No visits to Tesco. No need to go to the tap. You have a spiritual well within you. If you fear God spiritually in your life, you have a fountain of life, spiritual life. And it keeps coming up and keeps coming up, and it'll deliver you from everything that tries to trap your life. In Proverbs 15:16, it says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures and trouble therewith. Another proverb, it says, it's better to live in the corner of a house. It's talking about a little tiny room in the corner of a building. A little tiny confined place. Better to live in that little tiny room and have peace than to live in a big mansion with a woman who does your head in. That's what the proverb says. I didn't write it. It says far better for you to be in that little room and you've got your peace than to have a big mansion and treasures and you've got a woman there who absolutely drains you. There's a lot of wisdom in the Proverbs. It says better is a few possessions. You can't buy the house you want or the car you want or the toys for your kids you want. You can't have everything that you want, but I do fear God. Amen. The Bible actually says that's greater than treasure. A man could have all the treasures. He could be the richest man in Ireland, but if he doesn't have the fear of God, it's empty. It is absolutely empty. In Proverbs 22:4, it says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Do you want real riches? Do you want honor? Do you want spiritual life? How do you get it? By humility and the fear of the Lord. Do you realize every blessing in the Bible is connected to the fear of God? If you allow the fear of God to be in your heart, will you stand in awe of Him? Will you respect Him? Will you tremble before Him? Will you overwhelmingly conscious of Him in your life? Every blessing will come to your life. There's no good blessing He'll hold back from you, but He'll give it unto you. Let me finish with one last verse. Proverbs 19:23. It says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. In other words, the fear of God always brings spiritual life. Don't think the fear of God steals from you or takes away from you. It doesn't. The fear of the Lord always tends towards spiritual life. Sin always leads to spiritual death. But the fear of God always brings you into life, and he that has it shall abide satisfied. Do you want to be satisfied? Do you want to have a walk with God where you're absolutely satisfied? You're absolutely content. You're absolutely at rest, at peace. Where you go, I don't desire anything. I am utterly content. You know, last night we watched that video of the biggest men's prison in America. We were looking at it and the testimonies in it. And those men, they're on a life sentence. They've been locked away in that prison. They will never get out of there. And one of those men, he says, do you know what? I keep hoping and praying I might get out of here one day. He's a younger man. But he says, do you know what? If I have a choice of staying in here and keeping Christ, or getting out and living 30 years and being without Christ, he says, I'll stay in here as a choice. He said, I am satisfied. I don't like prison. I don't like being locked up. I don't like my freedom taken away. But he said, I am satisfied with Jesus Christ. That's a man with the fear of God. That's a man in the fear of God. I met a man once in South America. He'd went out and planted a church, and then he was sending missionaries into Chile. Here he is a pastor, he raised up a church, but he wasn't always that, he was a prisoner. In the biggest men's prison, or the worst men's prison in the world, Laurie Gancho, and I got speaking with him. And he was there, he actually wrote a letter to the general of that prison. He was doing School of Christ, or School of Christ in that prison. And as he's going through it, his date to get released is before the end of it in his graduation. And he's going, but I want to finish School of Christ. I want to graduate. Do you know what he done? He wrote to the general saying, please, will you let me stay in this prison until I finish School of Christ and get my graduation certificate, and then I'll go. I'll leave this prison. He was the only man in the history of that prison, and the National Geographic called it the most dangerous prison in the world. Why would a man beg to stay in prison to finish School of Christ? Why would you beg? Because you're absolutely satisfied with Jesus Christ. That is a man who fears God. And when you have the fear of God, you don't fear anything else. You don't fear what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't fear what the devil can do. You don't fear what man can do. You're free from the fear of man. You just love God. The fear of God is to hate evil, to depart from evil. And let me say again as we close, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You see, the man who has the fear of God, he's wise. If you don't have the fear of God that I've just talked about tonight, you're not wise. You're not wise, you're foolish. But if you have this fear of God in you, you're very wise. If you tremble before God, you're wise. If you look at how you speak and how you act and what you do, and you're conscious of God, you're very wise. But if you're able to act free from that, you're very foolish. Please stand with me tonight. My Lord and my God, Father, we do want to be a wise church, wise individuals. We're asking, even tonight again, my God, I'm asking, Lord God, for the wisdom of God. But Father, to do that, I'm asking that you put your fear in my heart. I'm asking even tonight, Lord God, if you put your fear in my heart, I will depart from sin. I will depart. I will hate the things that you hate. Lord God, I'm asking that you so put your fear in my heart that I will never depart from you. My God, remember your covenant with me. Will you remember your covenant? Will you perform it? My God, it's you that made the vow. Lord God, that in this covenant that you're going to put your fear in me. You've made a promise to me, my Lord. Lord God, I have faith tonight. I'm asking in faith that you put fear in this heart, that you put your fear, Lord God, to make me walk right before you, to make me walk holy before you. My God, I'd want to be filled with the wisdom of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah.